Good to see each of you back tonight with us. Have some visitors with us. We appreciate your presence. We're continuing our study in the parables of Jesus. Last week we studied the parable of the prodigal son or the lost boy found in Luke 15. And in just a few minutes we'll be looking back at that chapter again. So if you want to turn to that chapter, chapter 15 of Luke. On one occasion the Pharisees heard the people murmured against Jesus, and they and the chief priests sent officers to go and to take Jesus. And the officers that they sent went there and heard him, and they came back, but they were without him. They didn't have him. And they were asked by these Pharisees and the leaders there, said, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, never a man spake like this man. John 6, verses 32, 45, and 46. So Jesus taught the people, taught multitudes. He taught on occasion individuals. He taught them on numerous occasions with differing circumstances. And he used different kinds of methods of teaching. Throughout the book of Luke, and we'll look at some of those verses after a while, he talked to the Pharisees. He taught the Pharisees and responded to them with straightforward lessons that weren't parables. But Jesus did much of his teaching by use of the parable. We talked about the parable. It was a method used that was a story, using everyday items, everyday places, everyday circumstances, and then drawing from that a spiritual conclusion. A spiritual lesson or a heavenly lesson. As far as our background, looking at the 15th chapter, there are three different parables concerning the lost. Well, actually four. Although the last parable probably is broken down into two different parts. There's a lost sheep. A shepherd having 100 sheep, and one of them became lost. In this parable, Jesus said that the shepherd went and got the one that was lost. He spent his time doing it. He took the time to go and find that particular sheep, bring it back to the fold, and he rejoiced. He celebrated because the one that was lost was now home. Now, Jesus closed that particular parable with this in verse 7. He says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Then the second parable had to do with the lady or woman who had 10 pieces of silver. And of course, money would have been treasured as many people treasure today, as most of us need it today. And she lost one of those 10 coins, and she diligently searched for it, Jesus said. And once she found it, she again, like the shepherd, rejoiced that that which had been lost had been found. And Jesus says something similar in verse 10 as he did in verse 7. He says, likewise, I say unto you that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And then he tells the story of the two sons. One, a younger son who goes to his father and says, ask him to give him or divide his inheritance with him. The younger boy, having one older brother, would receive half of what the older boy received, or one third. And he received that, and it was not too long before he took that inheritance with him in whatever form he had it, and he, over a period of time, wasted it. He lived in a righteous way, Jesus said. And after time, things got so bad, he was down feeding pigs and even saying that he would be glad to eat what the swine were eating. And that was way down the line on the Jews' menu, you might say. In fact, it's not even on their menu, eating hog meat, or eating with the hogs. So the young boy, Jesus says, finally came to himself. He came to himself. He said, you know, and he thought back at his home where he lived. And he said, you know, the servants back there are a whole lot better off than I am now. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll rise and I'll go back to the Father and I'll let my Father know that I have sinned against him. I know that I tell him I'm not worthy to be called his son, to make me as one of the hired servants. The Father saw him coming. And so the Father ran to meet him and had compassion, the Bible says. He ran and kissed him on his neck, fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son told the father, he said, I've sinned against thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. And the father received him joyously. He said, you know, give him a robe, give him a ring, give him his shoes. Let's find the best of our herd, a fatted calf, and let's kill that calf, and let's have a feast. Let's have a party. Let's have a celebration. And the reason, verse 24, the lesson Jesus says is, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. But what was the backdrop for these parables? I think sometimes I begin with the background of it, and I did with just a little bit, but let's go back and look at this. So why does Jesus talk on this occasion in parables, and why does he say what he does? Why these particular stories about these this lost sheep, this lost coin, and this lost boy? Well, if we look back in chapter 15, the first two verses, says, drew near unto him, that is unto Jesus, all the publicans, tax collectors, and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes, you always depend upon them, they murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners, and he eats with them. So Jesus was forever having difficulty with the Pharisees and with the scribes. In fact, back in Luke chapter 12, in verse 1, if you look back there, Jesus has something to say to his disciples about the Pharisees. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So he warned the apostles, disciples, of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Though they were the strictest of the Jewish groups, the Jewish sects, they still had some problems. And we'll look at some verses that point those out. Look in Luke 11, down in verse 37 through the 39th verse. Luke 11, 37 through 39. This is just speaks of one Pharisee seeking him out. As he spake, as Jesus spoke on this occasion, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him. And he went and sat down to meat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Pharisees were the type that wanted to look good on the outside, put up a good front, wanted to have a good reputation. They're the ones Jesus chastised on occasion after occasion for wanting to pray out in the marketplaces rather than going into their closets to pray. He chastises them again here. Look at chapter 11 and verse 42. It tells us again something about the Pharisees. I woe unto you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. So, he says you're tithing and you're doing it to the nth degree, and that's fine. But he said there's some things that you are overlooking that have to do with your attitude. Your judgment and your love of God, these things you're leaving undone, and you should have done it all. You should have tithed, but you shouldn't have left these other things undone because they were important. Remember also the Pharisee of whom Jesus spoke in the parable in Luke 18. If you look over to Luke chapter 18, Luke uses a lot of the parables. Down about verse 9 through 14. I won't be reading it, but we'll mention it, some of the verses. On that occasion, he used a parable that was directed unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So he's talking about the Pharisees. Look how righteous I am. They put themselves forth as the ones who were the examples of the way the children of Israel were to live under the law. So he then spoke of two individuals who went into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and one was a publican. And he said, now the Pharisee looked over at the publican and said, in his prayer, said to God, I'm thankful I'm not like other men, such as this man over here. And the publican was over there, the lowly publican, not self-righteous as the Pharisee was. He was over there and he was praying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He recognized his need for God. With his self-righteousness, the Pharisee saw no need in God. So who should they expect would be coming to Christ? Would be coming to Christ to hear what he had to say? Well, the publicans and the sinners, they're the ones that had need of a physician. They're the ones that were sick, you might say. Jesus has said he came to seek and to save the lost. And so therefore, this is the answer in response to one of the things that was raised by these Pharisees. They're saying this man eats with sinners. He eats with them. He receives them. And Jesus says, let me respond to that. He responds to it to them by talking about the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost boy. They're the ones that needed the attention. The lost and the lost. The God of the lost, the publicans and sinners knew they needed God. They knew that they needed something from the Savior and that he had something to say to them. The Pharisees didn't, so he hadn't said anything about them, although they might could read between the lines here. So tonight we want to look at verses 25. For a while here, verses 25 through 32. I think in the past when I've had this parable and taught this parable, I stopped at verse 24. But the story doesn't stop there, does it? The story doesn't stop there. Because you see, he hasn't really addressed the situation of the Pharisees. He just answered their question about the publicans and about the sinners. So the story could have ended there, but if we look at the beginning and back in verse 11, when Jesus began talking about this younger son, he said, a certain man had two sons. Two sons. So the story is not complete until we talk about the two sons and get the full picture. So we see the rest of the story here in verses 25 and following. And there's quite a contrast we can see in the attitude of the son who came home and the son who stayed at home. There's a contrast brought out between the forgiving heart of the father, or God, and the unforgiving, the grudging heart of this elder brother. Let's look at verses 25 through 32. We'll read those and we'll go back and briefly comment on them and see what some lessons we can glean from this parable. What the Pharisees were supposed to see, supposedly, and then some application for us. The elder son was in the field, and as he came, he drew nigh to the house. He heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He didn't come home. He didn't come to the party and come to the father and think, well, anything that's going on is fine. He said, you know, something's going on. I'm going to send one of the servants. I'm going to ask him, rather, what is happening? What is going on? What does this mean? Verse 27, the servant says, your brother has returned. Your brother has come. And thy father hath killed a fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. Well, how was this older boy going to respond to that? Well, you would hope he would respond in the same manner as the father had. But he was angry. Verse 28. He was angry. And he wouldn't go in the house. He wouldn't go into where the party was, where the celebration was, where the father's son was. Therefore came his father out. So the father is not going to say, well, you're angry. I won't have anything to do with you. He goes out and he lovingly approaches this older brother. And he entreats him. He begs of him. He asks him to come to the feast. Then the older boy says in verse 29, he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Then he's patting himself on the back, going to break his arm, patting himself on the back. I've done all this, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son, you see something in that way he's phrased that? Not my brother. Thy son, as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living, he was given this inheritance. He really, in a way I guess you could look at it as devouring the father's living, but he really devoured what had been given him. From the father, because the father, really everything had belonged to the father. And also this older brother had gotten his inheritance. Look back at verse 12. When the parable of the younger boy, the lost boy began, the prodigal son. The younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. So, in essence, the younger boy got his portion. The older boy had his portion. He stayed there at home, but he had his portion also. Whether it was dealt out or whether it was just there for his taking, but evidently it was there for his taking. So if we look at these boys, if we look at this older boy now, we see that in saying that I've been here and I have served you, not that I've worked with you, but I have served you. And I have not disobeyed anything. Now, can't you see a little bit of the Pharisee's idea, attitude coming through? That type of attitude? But, you know, you never gave me a kid. Why are you treating me the way I've been treated? And why are you going overboard to have a party for this irresponsible kid of yours that's come home? Because that's the way he looks at him. One writer even said, the older brother may have been the reason the younger boy left home. He might have been part of the problem. And likely if he had this attitude at this point, the older brother, it's likely it didn't spring up overnight. But he had been with the father and he said, you know, I've done everything right and this boy has done everything wrong. And yet he comes begging back and you accepted him. Almost somewhat similar to what Jonah thought when he went and preached to Nineveh. And afterwards he says to God, I knew you were going to forgive those people if they repented. And he went out and pouted underneath a bush that sprouted up, God allowed to sprout up over him. So this son was, this older brother was upset that his father had rolled out the red carpet and had killed the best animal possible, the fatted calf. It's almost as if he was fattening up a calf for some occasion or maybe that occasion, and there he was. And we wonder, why couldn't this older son have a more loving spirit? More of a sharing in this joyful homecoming. Of course, the father then said to him in verse 32, he says, it was meet. It was fit that we should make merry and be glad. Your brother was, you know, it was just as if he were dead to the family. And now he's part of the family again. He's alive. He's back. He was lost, just like that sheep was lost that shepherd was looking for. Just like that coin was lost that lady was looking for. My son was lost, and I've been looking for him. Father saw him afar off. You know, you don't usually see things afar off unless you're looking in that direction. Unless you're looking in that direction. The Father is ever waiting for the lost, the one that's far away, to come nigh. And the Father continues in verse 32, for this, or just before the portion we read, for this thy brother was dead. Not my son, thy brother. He stresses that. This thy brother was dead. So quite a contrast between the attitude of the father and the attitude of the elder brother. Now if we think about the two parables, the parable of the prodigal son, we see that likely, and I think it would apply to the question by the Pharisees about the publicans and sinners. They're the ones that saw that they needed Jesus' teaching, and they came to him for what he had to offer. They recognized their need, the need to return to the Father from the far-off country or far-away country. The elder brother, I think we could look at as the Pharisees and the scribes of Jesus' day, as we look at the application at that time. This older brother was ungrateful for what he had. He had everything. Whatever his inheritance was, and he was at home, and the father said, you know, everything here is yours. Everything that's mine is yours. And really had nothing to complain about. He was ungrateful. He was self-righteous. Lo, these many years I've served you. In other words, you owe me something. That boy, irresponsible son of yours, went off and wasted everything you gave me. I've stayed here all the time, and I've helped out. I've worked out in the fields. I was even laboring at the time that you began this party. And I heard all the noise. Somebody said that perhaps we need to look at the parable as two prodigals. Prodigal son that went far away and the prodigal son that was yet still at home. And then he went on to say this. I had to write it down because I couldn't remember everything he said. But he said, one of these prodigals was alien from his father's love through sins of passion. So that might be one way of looking at it. Through sins of passions, and the other through the sins of his temper, his attitude. You know, a lot of times we think one is a greater sin, don't we? We have our list of great sins. Usually, as I look at those lists, it's usually something that we are not guilty of doing. That's on the big list. These other things, you know, that being covetous, being envious, telling little lies, doing this or that, that's not really big, and it's not indicated. This writer went on to say, said, we see that one of these prodigals could be considered as eating the husk of fleshliness. Had a different way of putting it. And that the older brother could be seen as eating the rancid food of sour and a sullen mind. So the boy, and actually, if we look at these two boys, which one of these boys was right with his father when the story ended? We don't know whatever happened to the older brother. But the way it looked when the story ended is the younger boy is back at home with the father, and the older boy is on the outside. He wouldn't come in. And Jesus says, Here are the publicans and the sinners. They know that they're in need of salvation and they come to be saved. You self-righteous Pharisees, you think everything is right with you and you do not come forward for that. You think you're all right the way you are. It's an application. The wrong attitude toward others can rob us of salvation. I think that's something that we can get from this. At the end of the day, again, who was right with the Father? Number two, no matter how stubborn we may become. That older brother was pretty stubborn there, wasn't he, with his father. But the father's attitude never really changed, did it? He entreated him. In verse 31, he said unto him, after the son had said, you know, there's your son went out and devoured all your living with harlots and you killed him, the fatted calf. And the father could have said, now hold on. But he said, son, thou art ever with me. And all that I have is thine. That's the way we need to look to the father. That's not the way the Pharisees look toward the father, toward God. The older brother was on the outside. Was he on the outside because he was kicked out? He was on the outside because he would not go in. I think that's the way it can happen with Christians today, that those who are near to the Father can fall away and just not come back in. In our list of the cardinal sins we were talking about a little earlier, did we really place more weight on certain sins of immorality, and on the sins of commission rather than on the sins of omission? You know, James says in James chapter 4, I believe it is, says that if we know to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. And so a lot of times we don't think about that. I know that's a problem that I have. Being ungrateful for our blessings is a lesson that we can see that we need to be thankful for what we have. We need to be humble, as this young boy was. He said, I was unworthy to be called thy son. And because of that, he could be blessed. Just like the publican when he was praying, you know, be merciful. He needed the mercy of God, and needing the mercy of God would be offered. We need to remember that Jesus said that loving our neighbors as ourselves was one of the two great commandments, following to love God with all our heart, our might, and our soul. So we have our study. I think we'll conclude our study of the parables with this parable tonight, and we'll begin in another series of lessons on third Sunday this month. Does anyone here tonight and not a Christian, you have the opportunity to make that known tonight, to confess your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, to repent of your sin, to be baptized, that those sins might be washed away, that you might be forgiven. You might arise from that baptism to walk as a new creature in Christ, in newness of life. As a Christian, if you desire prayers on your behalf tonight, if you wish to rededicate your life to Christ, you have that opportunity as we stand and as we sing.